We read from Isaiah 55. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Thank you for these words of truth, O Lord. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Be seated. I've been kind of wondering whether we should have a special day on campus here. How about a snow appreciation day? I think we should be thankful that you're not attending an Ivy League school right now. I was visiting with a pastor from out east, and he told me yesterday that they've already had 30 inches of snow in the last couple days, and he said they were looking forward to another 8 inches last night. Wow. And we were looking at the pictures and seeing the people dig out. Somebody said, too, that the only thing that seems to be heated out here is a discussion on global warming. Let's get serious, though, about snow. It's pretty important for us, though, isn't it? Snow and rain. What would we do without it? And we know that in a couple months how important it's going to be as we hopefully will be seeing popping out of the soil, those little sprouts. The sprouts come up, of course, and they grow into plants, have seeds, a lot of seeds. Those seeds then get put back into the ground again, and boy, quite a yield out there, right? Comes forth. What a harvest. Pretty tasty harvest, too. You know what it's like to sink your teeth into a nice, fresh piece of homemade bread. We have a lot to be thankful for with our God, not the least of which, too, to thank Him for how He does take care of us day by day. The Bible says, too, the promise that was given right after the time of the floodwaters is still holding true, and it will always hold true. As God says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. He provides so well for all that we need for this body and life. But you know, I don't think that's the only reason why God has given us snow. There's other reasons too, aren't there, I believe, right in Scripture. In fact, we got a couple of them right from this book of Isaiah, right in chapter 1 even. Snow is used as a great picture there, a picture of just as the snow covers the dirty soil and so on, what a nice blanket it puts over it. So also that's a beautiful picture of God's gracious forgiveness of sins in Christ that He grants to the world. Isaiah had written, "Though your sins be like crimson, they shall be as white as snow." And then, too, we've got before us here in Isaiah 55, words that are pretty familiar to us, and how God uses snow to point us to the way the Word of God is spread throughout the world, how it permeates and then touches the soil of human hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit and produces results. As we think about this text before us and how the Word goes out, I want us to really think about how it's packed with power, but how it also produces God's purpose. When I hear the words from Isaiah 55, maybe you're like me, and you think of that reference, or the quotation, I should say, from Dr. Martin Luther when he said that the Word of God is, yes, like a rain shower or like a snowstorm that comes in, and the snow falls down. The rain comes down, but it's only there in a certain area for a while, and then it moves on. And Luther says this is often the way it is in life, isn't it? The Word of God, think of how it has been in Europe especially too. But now, how many people are attending church and hearing really the Word of God, even if they were to attend church services there? And then it moves on to other places. Maybe it's Africa, other places in the world. And Luther says, seize it. Grab onto it. Hold it while you have it. And appreciate it. Do each of truly, if we look at our own lives, mine very much included, do we really treat the Word of God as if it is really packed with power? Maybe we could refer to a couple areas of our life for a minute here, have us think about that question in applying to our lives. How about the area of evangelism? Maybe there's someone you know that you've been even working hard on and talking to that individual about Christianity. You realize the person has not heard much of God's word in his or her life. Maybe it's even a roommate here on campus. Is it possible that you and I, as we come across an individual like that, and I know I've had a visit recently with someone this way, is it possible that we may be thinking, boy, if I could only marshal my arguments a little bit better. You know, maybe I should really find out much more about the interest of that individual. And then if I really study up on that and work my way into that subject matter, then I can finally argue people or get them into God's Word, rather than depending simply on presenting the Word of God, which is packed with power, the Holy Spirit's tool. Could we think that we might need to add something on our own to it? Because we're a little afraid that the Word just isn't going to do the work. Or could it happen, too, that as we take a look at the Bible and maybe think of the things that we have learned from even Sunday school days and confirmation and so on, could it be that once in a while, and it's the devil that's talking this way to us, comes along and says, you know, if you were to write the Bible, wouldn't you do it a little differently? Wouldn't you have excluded that part? Or how about, wouldn't you have thought about adding a little bit more in this area? Yes, you know better. Ah, we know the temptation that's out there. And you know what's so sad about all of this is that we might not even think this is such a serious sin. Someone here might even be thinking, or at least on some campuses, for example, might be thinking, well, isn't that really what the college experience is all about? To study much more thoroughly a lot of things about the world and have to call into question some of those things that we've been taught back in Sunday school. Let's use an illustration for a moment. Picture yourself out a ways and you're married and you have a child. Let's say your name is Chandra, and that you are mom or dad speaking to Chandra, 5-year-old child. Chandra, I want you to know that we really love you. I want you to know that you can always trust we're going to take care of you. And then what if Chandra were to respond to you and say, I know, Mom, but I'm also getting bigger now. I'm growing up in the world. And I want you to know, Mom, that as I grow up and learn a lot more about the world, I'm going to have to question what you're saying here. I don't know if I'll be able to hold on to what you're telling me. I think we'd feel pretty sad, wouldn't we? Maybe even a little bit of anger. And you know, think about it. If that's the way we would feel as sinful human beings who have trouble keeping our word when we give promises and so on, Can you imagine how God Almighty must feel when his own word that never fails is despised? Our instructional catechism contains a pretty important question, and it's this: how do we despise God's word in preaching? The answer given is this: we despise God's word in preaching by not rightly using the Bible and sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, or by neglecting divine worship for such reasons as laziness, amusements, and unnecessary work. One of the support passages, by the way, listed under this is John 8:47 that says, he who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. No matter how often we attend worship here in the chapel or at the regular at the local church and so on, no matter how often it is, we know that as we come in, we are to humbly confess our sins, and here we think, too, of our sins against the third commandment, as we talked about, despising God's word. This is the word that truly is packed with power. we have sinned against our Lord. It's not just sinning against a book. It's against our Lord, our God, as he's connected himself so much with his word. But that word, packed with power, is what also is there to give us tremendous help, to lift us up and to help us in those moments when we're tempted to doubt. And this word packed with power is a really sweet message for us. In fact, I want you to realize that Isaiah begins chapter 55 this way. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. This refers, of course, to the free forgiveness of sins that God has to offer us. And the reason God can offer this to us is even as Isaiah had prophesied, the Messiah was coming into the world. The Lord Jesus Christ now has come. And Isaiah's prophecy has indeed been fulfilled when he says, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Calvary was that place. Our Lord has indeed put our sins away. We've had the blanket of snow put over our filth. Believe this with all your heart. This word will never let you down. The snowfall, the rain shower, is right at Mankato at this moment, too, in your life, in mine. It's packed with power. It produces God's purpose. And what a purpose he has in store for us, because Jesus promises, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Amen.